This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
All right, Gary, man. Here's the thing. I retired from playing ball like in 2008, right? 2018. And one thing about it, man, I feel like a lot of guys get no judging, but like I don't want to get on here to try to like prove that I'm cool or prove that, you know, people, you know, should rock with me. I feel like, I mean, that's me in the nature.
You have a great personality.
Thanks, man. Thanks. But what I've been struggling with since I retired, man, I've always been an entrepreneur by heart. Like even my playing career, man. If you found out how I started playing, you wouldn't believe it, brother. It's a crazy story.
You hustled it?
Yeah, man. I was going to 24-hour fitness, training with some friends, and I wanted to play pro. I had a guy that was playing in Turkey, making crazy money, but I love the game. I always wanted to prove to like my coaches, everyone, because I was like a mid-level player, man. I didn't play at a big school. I just had the chip on my shoulder. Like, you know, I played at a D3 in Texas, but I was like, I'm going pro. I wanted to make this just because I love to play. And, man, I was working and a guy came in, played baseball, but he came in with like his friend, a nice chick. And by the end of the conversation, man, he was like, dude, you big. What are you doing working at a restaurant? What are you doing working at a steakhouse? And I was like, I got good personality, man. And I like wine. So I ended up, you know, waiting on him, man. And this was actually my last like straw, basically. I had spilled some shit. It wasn't going well at this point. It was just like out of there, man.
Bro, there's nothing that fires me up more than hearing I spilled some shit. I get it, bro. I love it. Keep going.
And this is like high quality steakhouse, man. Yeah, so I'm like,
you were about to go. That manager was kicking you out.
For sure.
I got it.
Man, but at the end of the night, the last table guy came in. You know, just real cool guy, man. I told him I was actually working to save up money to go to a camp in Serbia, just to give myself a shot. I heard about this camp. I was like, let me get out the bucket.
Because at that point, you knew that Europe overseas had some money, and that was more likely to be where you were going to play.
It just was like I did the D League, tried the D League route.
Yep.
I heard it was. I mean, at the end of the literally, Nick Nurse. Was the coach at the RGV Vipers at the time, and he set me down, and he was real with me. He was like, listen, your talent level can be X amount, but you have high-level guys. I think it was Chris Lofton on the board. You have all these names that I have to sell to these guys above me while we should take them. So no matter what your talent level is, these guys are going to stand out more.
I got it.
I said, okay, I took a bus from Houston down to the Valley. My agent called me. He's like, they want you to work out tomorrow. I did that like in a day just because I love the game. I love to play. But yeah, man, I met him. And by the end of the dinner, man, the guy was just like, he wrote me a check for like $900 to buy my plane ticket. I had already made enough to pay for the camp. So went over there, man, killed it. And, you know, kind of the rest was history, man. So I played in Germany, Saudi Arabia, Cyprus, yeah, Mexico, you know, basically got a chance to play all over, man.
Good for you, bro. Got to see the world, got to play the game. Good for you, man.
I'll tell you, my first gig, I made probably about the entire season, probably about 600 euros.
I get it.
Like,
it's a grind, bro. It's a grind.
I love it, though, man.
When you love something, yeah, I get it, my man. Okay, what can I answer before I bounce?
So basically what I'm trying to figure out, man, I'm getting stuck between, I tried so many different things. I went to the car business. I did really well in that, moved up into finance because I know I need money and I know I'm always motivated by that. So what I'm getting stuck between, I want to continue that aspect. I started a trucking company and I've been doing that. And at the same time, I teach, like I train and I teach kids. So I love to do both, man. But what I'm stuck between is trying to figure that out. Trying to figure out how can I, you know, build my business, my trucking company, and at the same time, give the game back because that gives me like the joy.
So you're caught between happiness and cash. That's what's happening. Like you've got the business because that's what you get it. You got your life, you got a lifestyle you want to live, but the game's so deep in your fucking soul and you want to fucking give back and do that, but the money is not as much there.
Right. A
couple things to think about. Are you the only business owner? Of the trucking, or is it part? Is it a partnership?
No, it's just me right now.
You might want to consider, one of the things I see in these scenarios is you might want to bring in somebody who, and give them 30% of the business. They have to earn into it. You give them 5 points every year for 6 years, but she or he could run that business. All of a sudden, you got somebody who gives a fuck about the business because they got nothing. Now they're coming up and they're going to work hard to get to that 30% ownership. Somebody you know, somebody you get to know, maybe an employee, a manager, you know, what have you, which then allows you to actually go all in. I'll be honest with you, with this level of charisma and swag and looks, I think you could really build a basketball academy virtual business where you're training individual kids. But then like the shit we all grew up with, the VHS tapes on fucking cable, you can now be doing that as a class online, and people are, you know, paying $19 a month to get the content and to get 3 hours with you in a Zoom. I'm really pushing people heavy on these Zoom and Google Hangouts. You could have 100 people a night in a Zoom, 3 hours worth of questions, do that 2 nights a week. I mean, there's a lot of opportunity for somebody with this kind of personality trait and this kind of passion. I'm convinced, by the way, Craig, this is on some real shit. I'm convinced you would make more money in the basketball thing than the trucking company. It's just that you have to deploy massive humility for 7 years.
What do you mean by that? Just get into it?
You're not going to make as much money the first 7 years, but by year eight, you'll make more. So your lifestyle adjustments would have to map that, because you don't give a fuck about the trucking shit. You're fucking making the ROI, the money, and I respect that. But I really, really think you got to look at monetizing the basketball thing, one-on-one training and virtual content. I think you could build a real business.
So here's my only hiccup on that. And I agree with that.
Go ahead.
My daughter, like I have a daughter.
Okay.
And I have a family. So
yes.
I took a backseat, like literally, like I took the Kobe approach. I read an interview where Kobe was like, you know, he felt like he can make, you know, bounds over other guys when he first came in league because he didn't have a family. He didn't have to obligate that time to do it. So for me, it's like, I literally, man, that's what I adapted. When it came to, I was in a gym 8 hours a day. I knew I was not naturally good enough. So I wanted to work harder and get better and become like a perfectionist, actually like learn the craft, like the movements, everything. So that, you know, that takes time. That's how I am when it comes to everything. When it comes to business now, I adapted that. I feel like if I want to blow it up, I know what I have to do. I have to really lock in and knock it out. Good. So sometimes it feels like, how do you spread your, if you're a perfectionist on both sides, like how do you make that happen?
By starting the process to not judge yourself. You got to get, perfectionism is bullshit. It's fear. It's a disguise. People use it as a disguise, bro. Perfectionism is an excuse. I'm telling you it is. Perfectionism is fucking insecurity with lipstick on. Don't judge yourself. If you're in the gym all day and you got hot and you figured something out and you came late and you missed that dinner, that's just one dinner. Make it up next week. Make it up next week. Take her for a walk. Spend the whole day with her. Like everybody is making it, like everyone's judging themselves.
Yeah.
Don't judge yourself in a day. Judge yourself in a life.
I got you, bro. Hey, you're my big brother. I know you might not know it, man, but like you're my big brother. Like, I listen to Jeezy like every day, and I hear your voice started, and it just like pushes me, man. Like
I appreciate like, it.
I promise you, man.
Thank you, man. As we end today's podcast, I want to give a huge shout out to the people. You know, it's so funny, people that leave reviews and written reviews of this podcast on Apple, Spotify, and all the other platforms just mean the world to me. You've taken an extra 13 to 95 seconds to show love and also give context to people of why this is a worthwhile podcast. So I appreciate that so much. And even more fun, because I think we all love a little cosign or a shout out or a little awareness, I'm going to have the team give a couple of shout outs daily on our favorite reviews. So take it away. Which were our favorites this week?
Thanks so much, Gary. Today's amazing 5-star review reads, "Thank you for keeping my mind out of the narrow zone. Listening to your podcast always challenges me to be more of my authentic self. As I listen, I catch myself smiling and shaking my head because of how amazing you are. Thanks for your humility. Jasmine Springwater." Thank you so much, Jasmine, for that kind review. And to anybody else listening out there, if you leave us a review, you might just get shouted out in the next episode.